Okay, you're very welcome back to the 9 till noon show here on Highland Radio as we gear up for the voting on Friday. And as I said before, 10, hopefully loads of us voting. Now, we have our panel with us. I'll introduce them to you in a moment. In fact, they'll introduce themselves to you as well. But just a couple of people who couldn't attend. Nikki Bradley of Fine Gael. She's a disability advocate and motivational speaker living in Donegal. Diagnosed with Ewing sarcoma at 16 and surviving the rare and often deadly form of bone cancer, offered Nikki a unique opportunity to restart her life at a young age. She's the founder of Fighting Fit for Ewings, which aims to increase awareness about the disease while encouraging people to view exercise as a form of rehabilitation. Her priority is disability barriers, defective concrete blocks, and getting more young people to play an active role in communities and in politics. Unfortunately, she was unable to attend. She was scheduled to attend, but withdrew yesterday because outgoing Minister Helen McIntyre believes in the county, and she's either meeting or canvassing with her or both. Niall McConnell, independent, a farmer from Castlefin. He ran in previous council and Dáil elections. His priorities are immigration, housing and healthcare. Carol Gallagher, People Before Profit, unable to attend as she's teaching and cannot be with us in person. She says she's a dedicated People Before Profit activist who spent years fighting for real progressive change and a strong family ties in Lifford and across the Finn Valley. Her early life shaped, she says, by the social and economic challenges of the Troubles, which instilled in her a deep commitment to social justice. We have, though, four in studio with us, and we'll give them an opportunity now to welcome, for us to welcome them and for them to tell the listener a little bit about themselves. And hopefully this goes better than that preamble. Vincent J. Bradley, independent, good morning to you. Thanks for joining us. Why should people vote for you?
Yeah, thank you, Greg, for inviting me here. Invitation this morning and all the panelists here as candidates as well. Why people should vote for me? I just want to be a voice for the people. I'm an ordinary person. I'm farming all the time and stuff like that there, and people are sort of disconnected with the overall way things are going in this country at the minute. From rearing young families, cost of living, food, fuel, rent, and accommodation. And then we have a situation then where a lot of people in are in a very unfortunate situation where their houses are actually falling down around them. We can see the demise of small businesses across the country, local butcher shops closing down, small businesses due to excessive costs. Again, our farming is in decline because of our age profile, and there's no young people really can financially come into farming at the minute because the sustainability is not there. We see, unfortunately, a high level of suicide in the farming sector at the minute. We see a total breakdown of our rural communities. It's just a dismantlement that seems to be going on this last number of years and has accelerated this last few years. And then we come to the situation where overnight small towns and villages are, they have new guests in the morning, maybe some places doubling of the population. We see then a collapse in for essential services, for respite services, people looking after family members in the home. Respite services are crucial because they're a vital part.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, I'm not cutting across, just to give everyone a... I think you'll be able to make a lot of those points in the course of the conversation.
Maybe we could try and get our young people back to the country and build up a future for the country, so thanks.
Yep, no problem. Minister Charlie McConnell, good morning to you.
Yeah, good morning, Greg, and thanks for organising these debates. My name's Charlie McConnell. I'm a TD since 2011, originally from just outside Glenealy in Carrimore, Glenealy, living in Burt, married to Jackie with an 8-year-old and 5-year-old sons. And been a TD since 2011. Over the last 4 years, I've been Minister for Agriculture, Food and the Marine. And listen, my objective as Government Minister has been to work to bring Donegal forward, to secure investment in our county, to ensure investment in our health services and housing, to deliver the new defective concrete block scheme, and as well to work then at national level to make sure that there's a strong national economy and that Donegal is benefiting from that, and particularly as well that we bring forward our infrastructure and our schools. And that's work that I'm asking for the public support in this general election to be able to continue with. I believe our county has great potential, and we've done and brought, invested a lot and brought very significant funding the last 4 years. That's work we need to continue with to make sure that this is a county which is exceptional to live in and to work in, and which is the public services to match that. And that's my key objective, and I've put a platform to the public over this course of this campaign, and I'm asking for the public support in this election now, November the 29th, to continue with that work.
Thanks very much indeed. Charles Ward, 100% Redress. Good morning to you.
Good morning, listeners. Good morning to all our candidates here. Charles Ward, I'm an affected homeowner. I am here because there's a scheme in place that does not work. There's thousands of us left behind. We need all the help we can get. We need a voice, especially a voice of a defective homeowner in the Dáil, is what we need. We need you to look and seriously consider your votes coming up. This is the crossroads. We're coming to the stage now where this is do or die for the defective concrete movement. So you either stick to what you've got, or you vote someone in who will walk the floor of the Dáil, an elected defective homeowner that's been sent up by Donegal.
And Sinn Féin's Padraig McLaughlin. Good morning to you, Padraig.
Thanks, Greg. I'm Padraig McLaughlin. I'm from Buncrana, and I've been honoured to represent the people of Donegal for many years. When I traverse across this county, it's clear that there's a burning desire for a change of government. It's clear that there's a real sense that Donegal is a forgotten county. But the people of this county are mighty people. They just need a government who will meet them halfway. If you look at the defective block crisis, our people in Donegal have been treated like second-class citizens. In Dublin and North Leinster, they got 100% redress. We get a grant scheme where you have to make up tens of thousands of euro. It has to stop. If you look at our hospital, it's been systematically underfunded for so many years, to the extent that 81 GPs and dozens of consultants stood up last year and spoke out about the neglect of the hospital, the fact that it needed to be funded properly. If you look at our parents of children with disabilities, we have the longest waiting list for basic services for children with disabilities. We have an appalling respite service. So our people deserve better. Sinn Féin have a real chance now to change this government. The only way that these things change is with a change of government. And I'm asking people to come out and strengthen Donegal and vote for that change on Friday.
OK, thank you all very much indeed. Before we get into the core debates, I mean, obviously, after Friday, we don't know how things will play out. A government will have to be formed. Charlotte McConlough, do you believe that if to get into power and to continue the work that you talk of, after the dust has settled, if the numbers work out, do you think Fianna Fáil would do business with Sinn Féin?
Well, I think our objective, Greg, is to make sure we maximise our seats across the country. And I think we're a party who very much is focused on making sure the economy is well managed and making sure then we're investing in public services and dealing with many of the challenges facing the public. And ultimately, the public will decide. But our parties do put forward their platform. And I believe the current outgoing government has worked very well at national level in terms of managing the economy really well. I think it's really important that we continue to make sure we have a pro-enterprise approach. I believe that the Sinn Féin approach to the economy is one which is not pro-trade, not pro-free trade, which is so important to our export economy. So important, for example, to Letterkenny here, which has the highest number of IDA-based jobs and foreign direct investment-based jobs of any town of its size in Ireland. And our key priority is to make sure we continue to see the economy do well so that we can actually ensure the country and our public services that are then invested in. But we have fought the campaign on our own platform.
Okay.
And after the election, then we will sit down. But we have been clear.
But would you go as far as your party leader and say you won't do business?
Well, we've been clear as a party that the current government has worked well. We want to work with parties who are pro-enterprise.
That's the priority.
We have real serious issues with the Sinn Féin economic platform. We don't believe it would be one which would bring the country forward, or one that is consistent with our own.
Okay.
And we will be talking to parties that we believe have a consistent platform which will be good for the economy as a key starting point.
I mean, Padraig, to get into power, to start fulfilling some of the promises you've made, you probably will, invariably, you will need a big partner, right? Would you go into government with Fianna Fáil? Would your party go into government with Fianna Fáil to that end?
Well, we've made it clear for a long time now that our preference is to have a government that doesn't have Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael in it. That's why we're running 71 candidates across the country. But the people will decide. And
You're not ruling it out.
No, I wouldn't be so arrogant to rule out discussions.
The only
with
thing with that is what? How does that deliver change then? Because you know, it's everything's about change, change, change. You would facilitate Fianna Fáil or Fine Gael, for that matter, continuing government. That's not the change that you talk of necessarily. The people that, I mean, there's a lot of people content with the current government, but the change, the people that want the change, you're talking about potentially more of the same.
I'm very clear. I think that Sinn Féin have a real chance of being the largest party again in this election. The momentum is clearly with us. It's against Fine Gael in a big way right now. And if we are the largest party, I think it's going to be very, very difficult for people like, for example, Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael to club together again. 45% of the people of Donegal voted Sinn Féin at the last election. Is Charlie seriously suggesting that he rejects that percentage of people's Donegal's expressed democratic wishes? So our view is that if we can be the largest party, our programme for change, our manifesto can be implemented. That's our objective. I think that people have hope now in this election that they haven't had for a long time. And there is a burning desire in Donegal on issues like housing, defective blocks, our health services, our disability services,
we'll get to those
fishing.
Issues, yeah. And
there's a burning desire for change. Yeah. I believe we can deliver it now.
Charles Ward, you talked about, you know, walking the floor of the Dáil, driving the point home. But to achieve what you want to achieve, I don't know far how it would have to go. Would it be the full implementation of the People's Document? Would you, you know, support a Fianna Fáil or Fine Gael government or a Sinn Féin government, for that matter, to achieve those ends?
The full implementation of the People's Document. No one, absolutely no one left behind. 100% redress with no one left behind. Farm buildings, creches, nurseries, community centres and homes. Absolutely nobody left behind. This has to end. We've been battling this 14 years and this document is in place. If they want us to be involved in this, this is our red line, the People's Document.
Yep, thanks for that. What about you, Vincent Bradley? Would you be happy to get into bed with any of the main parties to further the wants and needs of those that might elect you?
Well, at the minute, if we look back in this last 5 years, we don't have any opposition in this country. They're all in bed together at the minute, so they don't have to get into bed. They're all in the same bed. Now they can tell us whatever sounds good coming up to election time. We hear it every 5 years, and then everybody disappears for the next 5 years. So again, Sinn Féin, Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael, there's no opposition in this country. So the people has to make the choice now. Do we want to listen to the same carry-on up on the Dáil every other day? The one Sinn Féin short forecast, we're here today, we're not too far away the next day. Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael, there is no opposition, so we need to get independence in, strong independence that can go up there.
Yeah, but if independents club together as a grouping, so that's another party.
Well, it's an independent party, I agree with you, but at least we have all our
own. So you would join an independent party?
If it was
aligned. But why then not run for one of the independent parties that are already there?
I just still want to run as an independent, like, so we'll see. I would still like to be an independent.
Okay, thank you very much indeed for that. Right, we're going to come back and we're going to carry on from our conversation at the end of yesterday's debate, and that is with a focus on defective concrete. And we'll be starting that after we take this short break. Stay right where you are. Defective concrete blocks and the scheme. Charlie McConnell, Government Minister of Fianna Fáil. I think it's fair to say, you know, you're to some extent fighting a solo battle on this up here, right? So I can imagine it's difficult enough, right? But it's not as difficult as it is for the families and what have you. So, I mean, you stand over this scheme, do you, in its current form? Do you believe it delivers what the people want and need?
Well, listen, this is the biggest issue to face our county at any stage in our history. And indeed, I'd say no county has faced an issue of the same scale or challenge as we have, or indeed families face the trauma that affects them whenever they have a house which is affected by defective blocks, and all of the stress and strain goes through that. And as a minister at the cabinet table and in government, it has been my number one priority at the cabinet table over the last 4 years to seek a way forward and to make sure that a scheme has been put in place which supports homeowners to get their homes rebuilt. There's a new scheme which this government have now put in place. 4 years ago, there was a 90-10 scheme in place which had maximum funding of $247,000 at 90-10. The new scheme we put in place is totally different, addresses the issues which were there beforehand, addresses it in terms of how homeowners can apply with now, and as opposed to homeowners having to cover the cost of testing, a straightforward application process where the testing is now carried out by the housing agency with a maximum grant, particularly now, and is now €462,000 following on from the cabinet application there 6 weeks ago of the first annual increase under the current scheme of rates, and alongside then maximum of €35,000 or €37,000 for the SAI grants, that brings it over to over €490,000 now. That's the maximum available. We have seen significant momentum built up every week now. We're seeing more houses go into construction. We have 320 houses now actually under construction in the county, and 60 finished every week now. More starting and more finishing.
Just
it's an ongoing process, Greg.
If
I can just finish, it's an ongoing process. It has evolved and it continues to evolve. And I've worked at every step and done everything possible within my power, and will continue to do so to make sure that the scheme is as strong as possible and supports homeowners to be able to get their lives back.
Do you have a sort of a rough idea or percentage as to how many people are not having to, if they're able to, source additional funding? Like, of the 300 odd and the 64 completed, did any or many of those, as far as you're aware, achieve a 100% redress?
It varies for each homeowner, but really importantly in terms of the scheme that's in place and the legislation that provides for it, every year it can be updated to reflect the cost of building. And the cost of that cost, both when the scheme was established a year and a half ago and also most recently, is advised by independently by the chartered surveyors. And it can be updated every year as we go forward too, because this is going to be a scheme that's going to be with us many, many years. I know, and I've spoken to many homeowners who've come through the scheme and who have had their costs covered. That has been the experience for many. But it is dependent on, obviously, the homeowners and the costs and the tenders they get from builders as well. From a government point of view, the objective is to make sure that the grant that's been awarded is reflective of the cost of the day. And there's certainly, in terms of those that are coming through it at the moment, many are having it built for the grant, and it's profitable for builders to build it at that as well.
Okay, I'll come back to you on that.
What I just say as well, The increase, and this is important because as I've gone around as well, and this is something I worked to make sure we secured at the cabinet table too, the increase, the 8-9% increase, which is the first annual increase happening under the scheme, that is applying to everybody currently in the scheme. So for those who are currently building, the government have decided that it will apply to those. So for example, that means that anybody that's currently building and who's getting the average grant of about 330,000, it's worth an extra 26,000 in that instance. And if you're at the top end, if you're at the maximum, it's worth an extra 42,000. Just to be clear to everyone, that applies. So it applies to everyone who's currently building.
And you can reiterate those points.
There's some confusion out there, and that is important.
But anyway, you're clear.
And that's something I worked to ensure that was delivered at the cabinet table.
Okay, Charles Ward, 100% redress.
Okay, the average shortfall is 100,000.
Okay.
Now, we've done a survey.
Just do you dispute that, Charlie, that the average shortfall is 100,000?
Well, I mean, Charlie can give his figures in terms of where he's getting it from. What I can say, Greg, is
affected homeowners.
What I can say is that the average grant under the scheme at the moment, the new scheme we put in, the average grant is 330,000. It was 330,000 up to 6 weeks ago. It will now be 356,000. And also,
I get you. I just wanted to see if we agreed on figures. I'll come back to you.
Then also under the SEA grants, most homeowners are getting in and around between 25,000 and 30,000 under the SEA, which for the average homeowner means that the average grant that they're getting then with the SEI is about €386,000.
Sorry to cut across you, Charles. I just wanted to establish if we agreed on the figures.
Okay, we've done a survey, and this is based on questions here. Charlie insists on describing the scheme as strong and good. If it was strong and good, I wouldn't be here, okay? I wouldn't be sitting here doing this, okay? In a recent survey, 97% of affected homeowners with the lived experience disagreed with the assessment of the scheme, that the scheme is failing and they're going into debt. Charlie says, if flaws are identified, they would move to rectify them. Nothing. You were on Highland Radio, okay?
and you said that foundations were included, OK?
Foundations will be included in the new scheme. Yes, because they will be the scheme.
Oh, they're not included.
Okay, well,
Charlie, let me speak. Hang on, let me. You've had your time.
I think the minister did say if the science dictated that it would.
So Greg has clarified that. Just Charlie, now hold on. You're after. Just let me clarify that, because I mean, you've been a lot of people out there trying to portray false and give, and I've been very precise.
I know,
Charlie, but I have to be fair, right? Yeah, I recall that interview, and it was dependent on the science. I can't pretend to be fair and then not be fair.
But let me respond, well, because that's something that you've been saying repeatedly, and many others, falsely reporting what I said,
not,
Charlie.
Not
you're
falsely reporting.
You've heard Greg there actually correct you on it, okay? You've heard Greg correct you on it. I have said consistently at all times that this will have to follow the science as we go
forward.
But
in relation
what
to, I mean,
but just let me finish my point.
Charlie,
important.
All the people have to get in
You've known about the science since November last year, one year, and we're still doing this.
Let me finish my point. And what I said there as well is that the government were very clear that if there was scientific evidence emerged in relation to foundations, that the government would move to ensure they were concluded.
So where is it, Charlie?
And that's what
November.
That's what I said in that clip to Charlie. So don't try and misportray or misrepresent what I've said.
We're a year.
I've always been honest and hard working on this issue.
You're immediate in houses. So can I go come in now?
Yes, okay. Can I just clarify something about that clip? You could. There was two parts to that clip, right? There was a part where it was reiterated foundations were included, and then there was a part where science was referenced. All right.
Okay.
I don't want to get bogged in. People out there could argue that you're both correct in relation to that. All right. Go ahead.
Okay. I don't accept that. I don't accept that. Okay. No, it's a misrepresentation.
Okay. Hang on a second. Can I move on? Charlie, you've had your time.
Go ahead.
82 homeowner amendments by MAG. Charlie voted with his party against them. Up in Dublin, you voted against the people of Donegal. You abandoned your friends and your family and your neighbours of Donegal, and you went with the Fianna Fáil party. You abandoned them.
For homeowners here,
you haven't, because if that was the case, why did you vote 82 amendments down with your party?
I can answer that.
Do you know what I mean? No, I'll carry on. Okay, the denial of pre-legislation scrutiny. That's on you. Okay, I personally told Charlie at every public meeting I went to, right, last year, that what the flaws were. I'm just going to state them off. This will take less than a minute. Number one, you ignored the science. 322 people are given option 2 to 5, remediation, okay? They cannot currently sell their homes or remediate their homes. They're trying to get funding. They're stuck in their homes, okay? This is down on you, okay? The exclusion of foundations, okay? Number three, the failure to protect, to look after the vulnerable, okay? That's number four. Number five, the certificates of remediation. They cannot get insurance, they can't sell the houses aren't mortgageable. We're wasting taxpayers' money the way we're doing it right now. Number six, failure to meaningfully engage with the banking and insurance groups. Nothing. So them people that are in their homes that are remediated are stuck, right? Forcing people to build to lapse building standards, 2007 building standards from a long time ago, when it should be, everything should be foundations out, homes built to today's standards. They're not getting built to today's standards. And finally, the scheme does not represent 100% redress. This is why I'm here.
I get you. Before I bring, I'm sure Padraig and both Vincent have an awful lot to say about that, but just in relation to those statements, Charlie McConnell-Logue, I mean, do you concede that there are issues there and you're in there to try and resolve them, or do you reject some of his assertions out of hand?
Listen, I've been in there from the very outset trying to resolve issues and trying to get the best outcome possible. And listen, there would be nobody, and I'd say this when I was in opposition, there was nobody who led out more strongly from opposition on the last all than myself in terms of trying to push this scheme forward. And likewise then, when you get into government and when you go on the pitch, it's your job then to get stuck in and get the best outcome possible. In relation to the legislation, I fought that tooth and nail through cabinet and through the different departments to get the legislation as strong as I possibly could. Well done, Charlie, as strong as I possibly could, and then we brought it through the Dáil. If I hadn't done that, we wouldn't have the scheme we have now. We wouldn't see the momentum we have now,
and
we
wouldn't have a scheme which can adjust every year as we go forward. We'll come back to that, but Padraig and Vincent have been waiting very patiently. Padraig McLaughlin.
This is straightforward, Greg. There are now over 3,000 families in Dublin and North Leinster that got 100% redress. They're victims of the defective concrete scandals, the same as families in Donegal, Mayo, Sligo, Clare and Limerick. But as you know, a huge, huge number. I would say it could be up to 10,000 properties in Donegal. The scale of this is unbelievable. Whole housing estates across North Donegal will have to come down. That's both council estates and private estates. Absolutely huge. We're only scratching the surface here with what Charlie has talked about. So we need the same treatment for our people, the same justice for our people in Donegal, and it needs to be a state-run scheme. That's what happened in Dublin. They took the keys of the families, gave them the rent for the number of months, and handed the keys back to them. That was the extent of their outlet. The reality is that people are out tens and tens of thousands of euro. I met a couple who are a retired couple who are going to have to knock down their semi-detached home, not a huge home. They estimate at this stage that they're going to be down 70,000 euro. So the scale of this is huge. Micheál Martin, at the height of the protests, I mean, we all remember 20,000, almost all Donegal people in October 2021, 3 years ago. And Micheál Martin said around that time that this is going to be the biggest redress scheme in the history of the state, the biggest one, 3.5 billion euro. There'll be plenty of money for everybody. We have now an allocation next year of 70 million euro, not hundreds of millions, 70 million. So this government are just not serious. So the only way now that this is going to change, because we're talking about billions of euro, is a Sinn Féin-led government. And we've worked very closely with the campaigners since 2021, since the legislation in 2022, all the way to get to the point where what we have now on the table gives people real hope here now, real hope of justice and
there's
fairness.
There's no questioning Charles Ward's lived reality and his passion for this issue, right? But your party leader came up and sat just behind me in that and said that if you want this, if you want 100% redress, you don't vote for someone who goes up there and doesn't have the influence to do it. You vote for Sinn Féin. You vote for you or do you think that was fair to sort of to throw that campaign under the bus
that's absolutely not the case. Me and Charles, you know, have the utmost respect for each other. We've worked together for years, just to be clear on that.
But do you think the same respect was afforded Charles from your party leader?
Everybody has to make their own case in an election, okay? I'm a Sinn Féin candidate. And what I'm saying very clearly is the scale of what needs to be done here requires multiple numbers of TDs to be in government. So Sinn Féin-led government is the only pathway. That's why very leading campaigners in Donegal have said, and by the way, I've met people in this campaign who not traditionally are Sinn Féin voters and are saying, we're going to give you a chance here. We believe that the only pathway to 100% redress for us to actually rebuild our lives is for you to be in government, because you have the capacity to do it.
Just one question that I put to Piers Doherty yesterday, and I didn't really pick up an answer as such, and it's a simple one. There are people listening to this programme in Derry, Tyrone and elsewhere who are living in homes with defective concrete blocks, often bought from the same place. Again, I did try and find some reference to, you know, Michelle O'Neill, other leading figures in the North and defective concrete or mica. I have seen no statements. I've seen no press release. You're in power there. And then we can talk about, well, funding from London and all that kind of stuff. I get that, right? But do you not think that people could be concerned that if this was such an important for issue for Sinn Féin, that it would have leaked into the North and would be one of the key issues for the same party in the six counties?
Well, there's two issues. There's people from the North who have holiday homes in Donegal, and we've engaged with them extensively. I've had meetings along with various Sinn Féin MPs and MLAs in the North with those holiday homeowners, and also Sinn Féin representatives and myself have met with homeowners in the North who had purchased blocks on the side of the border. The reason why families in the North are taking a case, joining the Coleman legal case, is because the Irish government, if I purchase a TV in Derry, okay, the authorities in the North are responsible. The corporate oversight in the North is responsible for anything that went wrong with that product, okay? So that's where those authorities are accountable. So the Irish government will be accountable for any blocks manufactured in the state, sold at that point within the European Union.
So you believe
Union.
Stormont has no responsibility?
No, I think that fundamentally the Irish government will be responsible, but I do believe there will be need for cooperation between both governments to resolve the issue.
Vincent's been waiting incredibly patiently. Just a quick response for to that minister?
Oh, well, I mean, I think the hypocrisy here, like, I mean, Pádraig at the outset said about, I mean, comparing Donegal to the MICA scheme, or the defective block scheme, to the East Coast. Yet, you know, whether you live in Muff or Colmore, or what side of Calais village you live on, depends on whether Sinn Féin will fight for you to have a government-led scheme. Because in Northern Ireland, where
it's
you
Irish
are...
Irish government responsibility. Irish government responsibility.
You said a Sinn Féin-led government, Pádraig, would do this and do that, OK? There is a Sinn Féin-led government with First Minister.
But do you dispute that it's an Irish government responsibility? Do you dispute that the Irish government have a responsibility?
It's an issue right across our island.
No, hold on. I'm asking you a question. Do you dispute that the Irish government are responsible for the manufacture of blocks sold across the border? Do you dispute that?
The Irish government has stepped in here, OK, to provide support to homeowners with
a government-led scheme.
It should have, there should have been insurances, etc., to be able to follow instead. But because of that, the Irish government stepped in. In Northern Ireland right now, okay, just a few miles from here, we have homeowners remediating their houses with zero support from anyone. There's a Sinn, as you said yourself, Greg, there's a Sinn Féin-led government.
Why are Coleman Legal taking a case on behalf of those residents with your government then?
Let me finish.
You haven't answered the question.
Listen, you've given no answer to this question here.
No, you haven't answered the question.
Let me finish.
Well, he hasn't answered any question.
In Northern Ireland, not a single mention from, and they published their programme for government for the next 3 years. The programme for government of Northern Ireland, the Northern Irish Executive, was published at the start of September for the next 3 years. No mention whatsoever of factor concrete blocks. So you, as a party,
Charlie, I'll ask you again. Why have Coleman Legal taken a case against? If you are correct, why have Coleman Legal? If you are correct in your assertion, why have Coleman Legal taken a case against your government, your authorities, and not the authorities in the North? Because it is these authorities here that are responsible for the sale
and
manufacture
of
those blocks.
We'll move on to other guests. We'll bring you back in, because I want to bring Charles back in, but Vincent's been waiting very patiently. I greatly appreciate that. Yeah. Listen, where you're from, this is a big issue as well. It's a county-wide issue. What's your views on it?
Of course it's a big issue, and again, it's the total disconnect of this government all the time, because they don't realise the suffering that the people are going through with them houses. There should be 100% redress. Rip out the founds, start a new, total new house, build it. There's plenty of money for everything else. The houses has to be repaired, that they're livable again. The people deserve that there, Charlie. The people deserve it. And we have money for everywhere else, or there's money for the rest of the world that comes in here. So look after the people in this county and this country. That should be priority for every government, but again, it's not. So there has to be some sort of change, because things are not going to happen in a positive way if there's no change in the current government.
Charlie McConnell, you know, you say you've been making the argument you've been making the argument from the get-go at the cabinet table and what have you. So where's the resistance coming from? You know, we've seen leaked advice from a former attorney general really effectively saying that this scheme was designed to not really work. Let's limit who can apply. Let's go for the cheapest options. You know, we've heard stories of politicians banging their heads against civil servants and the permanent government, and civil servants wanting to send the cheeky people of Donegal a message. You know, so can we put our cards on the table here? Who is resisting then doing the right thing for these people? I genuinely don't believe it's you. I don't even necessarily believe it's either the government part. Where is the resistance to frustrate the people of Donegal coming from, in your honest opinion?
Well, look, I mean, and that advice you point out from Attorney General there is not what came to pass. And I'll tell you where the influence and the pushing has come from. It has come from me at the cabinet. And
yes, obviously, but who's pushing back against
Nadal
you?
As well, and obviously homeowners as well.
Who's pushing back on
well.
You delivering
but,
what you want
but
to
really
deliver?
Importantly, as much as there can be a protest outside and pressure from the outside, you have to have somebody in at the cabinet table pushing and harassing.
I'm not questioning what you're doing. What I'm saying is from where has the resistance come from? Is it Darragh O'Brien?
Well, you will always listen, no matter what things are with the civil service, you will always get cautious approaches. But what I have done and what the government has done, and I have to acknowledge, you know, Micheál Martin, as soon as they invited him up here, came up,
the
committee was put in place.
Absolutely. That's
what
he said.
Which is what it is.
Wow. 70 million next year.
We have worked, because this is something where the state has to step in to support homeowners. And as I say, the scheme that's in place now is entirely different to the one that was there before, which was plagued with challenges. And we are starting to see it roll out every week with more and more homeowners.
Those 60 houses that were finished, 60-odd houses, how many of those are complete rebuilds and how many of those those are remediation?
I don't know the figure. I don't know the figure.
I know in relation to grant.
Yes, many yeah. are.
Okay,
many
if the 60 that are finished.
I know in relation to the number of grants given out, just under 2/3 are for full demolition. And I would expect that those okay. are completed a lot. Or
we're going to come back with a rebuttal from Charles Ward and more from our guests on this incredibly pressing issue. Stay right where you are. So we do have a lot to get through in terms of issues, and we're not going to get through everything, but we're trying to get through as many as we can. And there is just no doubt, though you'd be forgiven for not thinking so if you listened to the national radio this morning, that defective concrete blocks is a key issue, at least in large swathes of Donegal. And with that in mind, we're going to continue on this topic for another little while, because I want to give Charles Ward, the 100% Redress Party candidate, a chance to come back in on that. Thanks for waiting until after that break, Charles.
Yeah, so I'll just give you some facts and figures when we're here, right? I believe we have turned a corner in getting more applications processed faster. Top priority for me. This is what Charlie said. Now, this is the figures. They don't lie. 61 homes completed in the last 3 years. 532 people show they aren't applying because they're financially restrained. Okay? We're in touch with them. We've been told they don't have the money, the mental ability to do it, because it's so complicated. They're just sitting there and their homes are deteriorating around them. Okay? Number of dwellings currently undertaking remedial works. And this broke my heart when I seen it, because I know that if you're listening and you're doing remediation work, your house is not insurable and mortgageable at the moment. The number is...
Remediation work, is that just doing some stuff yourself, like filling a few cracks or blocking off a window? Is that what...
Remediation as in outer leaf remediation or repairs through the scheme.
Okay,
these are people in this survey that have done the scheme.
Understood.
Okay, so out of that there, 318 homes are being remediated, okay? They will have to visit the scheme again, because the science is going to say that it will fail. The science, you're building on top of dead work. As somebody who lay blocks, you're building on top of dead work that isn't fit to hold a building. I have been in contact with people in Fintown in particular. You're listening to me now. You have had remediation work done twice in their house out of their own pocket and taken blocks from Cassidy's and remediated their homes twice, and they're absolutely destroyed. I've gone to their house. They've told me their stories. Could you imagine going through this twice? You know what I mean? We're all sharing this nightmare. And I think that the fact is that the numbers here are saying that we're wasting taxpayers' money. End-to-end scheme, foundations included, is the only way forward. Mm. It's not MICA. We know it's not MICA. MICA is not the issue here. Follow the science.
Pardon, McLaughlin.
Yeah, no, I agree with Charles. It's really disturbing, actually, because we all trusted the experts, and the word MICA became the label for what has happened to us, this disaster that's happened in Donegal. And there was an affected homeowner, Paul Dunlop, who's a professor, and he listened to some of the engineers. Engineers started to speak out, and he says, what we're seeing in these houses doesn't tally with IS 465. This was a standard designed by the experts to remediate homes. And they started to challenge it. And I remember thinking at the time, I'm sure you did too, Greg, any minute now the experts will put their minds at ease. This will be clarified. Nobody ever came forward. Nobody came forward. So people were remediating their homes based on this MICA freeze-thaw theory, IS 465. But thanks to Paul Dunlop and the experts he assembled across the world, we now know that the actual cancer that we're afflicted with is peritite internal sulfate attack. That is a big difference, because that means that houses have to come down, similar to pyrite in Mayo. So you then have the scenario where, which is incredible, where over 100 homeowners had engineers saying your house has to be demolished, and they were overruled and asked to do all sorts of farcical things based on the previous discredited standard IS 465. This has dragged on now for 6 months. Campaigners have gone down to Dublin now a number of times, and it is crazy okay. what's happening.
Charles, do you want to come back?
Yeah, I just want to tell everybody at home that might not be aware of this. Can you imagine being in an affected home and your home is built in a position where it's sheltered, okay? and it's slowly decaying, but you don't meet the damage threshold. A visual, somebody comes out and it's a visual. It's absolutely ridiculous.
The crack's
ridiculous.
Just not wide.
The crack's not wide. Okay. And you know, this mica, I would like to know where this theory came from, mica, because we all know now that this has been the wrong method. We are still doing this and we're wasting money.
Yeah. Vincent, did you want to come in on that before I go to Charlie McConnell?
Yeah, in relation to the founds should be actually ripped out, dug out. The whole, you have to start from new if you're building a new house. It makes sense. So there's no point in messing about with it.
Yeah.
Give the help to the people that does need it as easy as possible.
Yeah, for many people listening, Charlie McConnell, it doesn't make sense to, given that what we do know, and everyone's become an expert in this now because it's the lived reality, if we are going to be responsible with taxpayers' money, it doesn't make sense, does it, to go in and do half a job. And in fact, you know, we've got the housing agency themselves sort of recommending this. It puts people in a crazy position. Because it's like gaslighting. They know how bad the problem is, but then you've got the state sort of doing a half job. Then we don't know in terms of mortgageability and all that kind of stuff. I mean, what do you say to that?
Oh, listen, I mean, the science and the engineering advice has to be absolutely followed in terms of how the scheme is rolled out. We have seen that change and evolve over the last 2-3 years. Like whenever I became a cabinet minister and at the time of the last election, it was all about mica, you know, and that's what the campaign groups were called after as well. We have seen new information and new science. We haven't; it hasn't all arrived yet. My objective as a representative from the county has been to work as hard as possible to make sure that we have as strong a scheme as possible. And also, I have always insisted at government level that any new science has to be, and the government has said that they will follow the new science
when
as well.
When is this new science crucial. Due? Because it there is been, this purgatory listen, that people
it has
are
been,
in.
It has been slow and coming, and the National Standards Authority of Ireland are the body, the appropriate professionals and competencies in relation to it. There has been new science informed to government in recent times. The government have moved as a result of that to pause any options from 2 to 5 for further assessment and further advice from the National Standards Authority, and it's critical all of the science is followed. And from my objective, Greg, I have pushed in every way possible to get as strong a scheme in place, and I absolutely agree the science and the engineering has to be followed here,
yeah.
and we'll continue to do that.
Okay, Charles,
and
more information
has been gathered.
The problem, Charlie, is as we speak right now, we have homeowners who were overturned. So they had a recommendation to demolish their houses. That recommendation of their engineers is overturned based on discredited science, right? They're having to appeal to an appeals board, which is still now established. They're going through that process, so they're in this limbo. I spoke to a man yesterday from Carndonagh, and he has been given a recommendation to basically pin up the roof. Crazy stuff. So his engineer said, demolish the house. He then was told by the housing agency, pin up your roof and take... You know, so he's urgent to get on with it. But if he does get on with it, he could be down an absolute fortune of money. So people are in a crazy dilemma. And I have to say, the apparatus of the state, the housing agency, the National Standards Authority of Ireland, they have dragged their heels on this issue for too long.
All right.
You know,
Charles, did you want to come back in there?
Yeah. Look, you know the science, Charlie. Doesn't matter how you say it. We know the science is going to dictate that everything has to go, including the foundations. The risk is too great. But right now, as we talk, we're sitting here saying that we know it's coming, the science is coming, but right now there's 322 people remediating their house. For them to be told then that, do you know what, that's failed. You can't use that, you can't go... Charlie, we have to stand up. The people of Donegal are on their knees. They need you to show leadership and say, look, okay, I understand. I'm going to do this. I'm going to put Fianna Fáil aside. I'm going to come for the people in Donegal. I'm going to say no more. Please stop.
Let there be no doubt.
Let
there be no doubt. From the very outset, whether in opposition or in government, I have done everything humanly possible within my power and used every power I've had at the cabinet table to move this issue forward. Listen, I'm not in charge of the science
know,
or the engineering.
Let
me finish. That's the National Standards Authority. And I've been very clear throughout that all of that must be followed. And it's key that anything new that is learned is absolutely adjusted and reflected upon. The challenge has been here. This has been a moving piece over the last 2-3 years because the science has been moving. From my objective, I have used the responsibility I have as a cabinet minister in Donegal to be at the cabinet table to drive it forward in every way possible and get the strongest scheme possible
for
homeowners.
As a human being, as a Donegal man like myself, our children, there's no standards in place. This can happen again. There's no testing in the quarries. This can happen again. We're waking up in houses every single day. I have children in my own house with inhalers. My wife has an inhaler. It's beyond it.
Just in relation to the testing side of it, where are we in relation to that? I mean, I think you referenced this when we were up in Milford, Charlie McConnell Logue, this €65 million hospital that's being built below us here. Like, are we 100% assured and guaranteed that all the materials going into that, and this is... they're a fantastic crew that's working on that down there, a very, very brilliant Donegal company. But are we completely assured and guaranteed that none of the materials going into that are defective?
Yeah, there were changes put in a number of years, six, seven years ago in relation to the regulation and in relation to the oversight. But we have discussed here, I mean, and the government have put in place as well a standards review in terms of the, which the professionals, the engineers, the National Standards Authority are doing now at the moment. But there has been a change in the last few years, a lot more oversight. But as we know, the science has been emerging and evolving and is important that, and there's new science happening here in Ireland,
so
which we haven't seen anywhere else in the world as well.
Any blocks going into a new house now, you can guarantee us that they must meet.
I'm not the competent authority in relation to that, Greg. But what I can say is that there has been a change in relation to the standards and the oversight and the
Charles,
regulation, and it's currently being updated further as well.
Okay, look, I can answer this for you right now. Minicat Wind Farm took down 32 windmills last year and replaced them with bigger ones. Okay. The concrete had to come from Roadstone because it's certified, tested, 100%. They couldn't do it here because of the standard. They didn't meet the standard.
That's okay.
So Roadstone had a standard. In Donegal, we don't have a standard.
Okay,
and we're building houses to that right now.